This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. The last time we met, we were in the midst of studying Gideon and his encounter with the angel of the Lord. We spent time learning why it was that the Israelites were hiding in fear of the Midianites and the Amalekites. We discovered that Gideon had been threshing wheat in the winepress so that it would be saved from the marauding bands of these nomadic tribes who were not only attacking the people of Israel, but they were also devastating the land. They would bring all of their herds of livestock, cattle, sheep, and camels with them when they would attack Israel. These men would set up camp and then let their animals graze on the land anywhere they wanted until even the shoots of grass were eaten down to the ground. We read about the angel of the Lord who came and revealed himself to Gideon and pronounced that Gideon was a valiant warrior and was to wage war against these marauders, and he would win. Gideon gave multiple reasons why this wasn't possible and wasn't even a good idea in his eyes. He spoke and tried to rationalize with the stranger. Gideon said, "I am the youngest in my father's house, and our tribe is the least of all the tribes of Israel." He wasn't afraid until he realized that he had seen the angel of the Lord face to face. We found this in Judges chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. In this verse, we see that Gideon uses two of the names of God that we've studied. He says, "Alas, O Adonai, my Lord and Master." And then later in that same passage, we see that Gideon had now begun to declare that not only is Jehovah his Lord and Master, he is also Jehovah who was his peace. Gideon built an altar and named that altar, "The Lord is Peace." True peace cannot be found in any other place than in a right relationship with Jehovah. I want us to look at several more passages of Scripture and discover what they have to tell us about peace and its relationship to Jehovah. The first one that I want us to look at is Vayikra, or Leviticus, chapters 26, verses 2 through 6. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their seasons, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full, and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land." Jehovah was clearly telling his people they were to follow his instructions, his Torah. The first thing that he said that they were to do was to keep my Sabbaths. Now, we've talked about this in previous sessions, but we do know that this was the first thing that Jehovah sanctified, and that was his Sabbath. We also found out that there were ramifications for not keeping the Sabbath. If you missed this session that we studied, Jehovah Mekodeshkim, or Jehovah who sanctifies, you might want to go back and listen to that particular session. We also studied in that same session another of the things that Jehovah Mekodeshkim sanctified was his sanctuary. In the verse I just read, we see here that Jehovah gave us other instructions that came with a promise. We were to walk in my statutes. They were to keep my commandments so as to carry them out. The wording here is really interesting. As to carry them out is telling the people that they were not only to know his commandments, but they were to carry them out with purpose and intent towards him. They weren't to merely do the commandments, but they were to keep them with a motive of reverence and obedience to the one that had given them. It was a heart thing. We can sit in church and all we do is warm the pew. We can sing the songs of worship, but they're only words coming from our lips. They are not coming from our hearts. This is what Jehovah was telling his people. Keep my commandments, my statutes with your heart, because of who I am, and not out of habit and rote. The promises that come along with keeping the Sabbath, reverencing his sanctuary, walking in his statutes, and with our hearts and our actions were and are many. He would give them rain in their seasons, which means that the rains would come when they were supposed to come. They wouldn't come when they would damage the crops or injure the livestock. The land would yield its produce, and the trees would bear their fruit. The harvest would be plentiful, and the yield large and healthy. Their harvests were to be so plentiful that each crop would last until it was time to sow them again. They wouldn't be hungry or worried about what they were going to eat or to feed their families. They would live in peace and be secure on their own land. They would be able to lie down at night and know that there was no reason to fear. Jehovah would also eliminate any of the harmful beasts or animals that would harm their livestock. There would not be any violence or war in their land. But did you hear the key to these promises? Let me read that particular phrase again. Now listen closely. If you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments as to carry them out, then I shall give you. This is a great example of an action-result passage. Jehovah said, if you will, then I will. The ultimate thought here is, if you will, keep my Sabbaths, reverence my sanctuary, keep my statutes and my commandments, then I will give you peace, or shalom. This is something that is missing in so many of our congregations today. No one has looked at or has applied this action result promise. Beloved students of the Word, if we study His Word for information only and do not apply it to our lives, we have lost the peace that He has promised. Now again, I need to reiterate that there's only one way to salvation, and that is by agreeing with Jehovah that we are a sinner. We are missing the mark that a holy God has declared for us, and then repent of this sin, accept that His sacrifice is all that is needed for you to be saved and to spend eternity with Him. However, as we have also studied, Jehovah wants to sanctify us, to make us holy, like His Son is holy. And the only way that happens is when we start walking like He did and behaving like He did. Yeshua only did and said what He saw His Father doing and saying. As Rabbi Shaul so aptly put it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We discovered that this is what is meant by Philippians 12, verses 12 through 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. The next passage of Scripture that I want us to look at is Bamidbar, or Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." Did you hear another if and then statement? Actually, here the if is implied in the "so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." This passage records a solemn benediction which Jehovah appointed for dismissing the people at the close of the daily service. The repetition of the name of Lord, or Jehovah, three times, and it appears as if this might be an expression of the three persons, yet one God. The expression in the separate clauses correspond to the respective offices of the Father, to bless and keep us, of the Son, to be gracious to us, and of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, to give us peace. And because the benediction, though pronounced by the lips of a fellow man, derived its virtue not from the priest blessing them, but from Jehovah himself, the encouraging assurance was added, "I, the Lord, will bless them." Another verse I want us to read is Yirmiyahu, or Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jehovah assured the people that what had happened in the past was not a series of unplanned accidental events. He said, "I know the plans I have for you." His plans were not intended to hurt them, but to give them hope and a future, a hopeful future. He encouraged them to pray, for he would listen to them. Nothing has changed. Remember, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 56, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Praise his name, he does not change. We today, as his people, as believers in Messiah, these are the same plans he has for each one of us. We need to write these verses down and to look at them frequently throughout the day, not only when we are in difficult circumstances, but all the time. If you've been studying along with us, you know that one of my favorite things to do is when a verse applies to me as a believer in Messiah, I can put my name in that verse. Now, I know I've said this before, but it does bear repeating. Those verses apply to his children, his nation, and his believers. And unless there's an asterisk next to a verse, and down at the bottom of the page it says that this verse applies to everyone else in the world except to Carol Foster, then that verse is mine. And this verse is definitely mine. So, here goes. "For I know the plans that I have for you, Carol, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you, Carol, will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You, Carol, will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." This verse will bring us peace, comfort, and encouragement, and victory in his name. Next, let's read Yeshayahu, or Isaiah 48, verse 18. "If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." The Lord, Israel's Redeemer and the Holy One, had constantly been teaching and guiding Israel through the law, or his instructions. But they had not paid attention to his commands. Had they done so, they would have experienced not the exile, but peace and righteousness, and none of their children would have been killed. We can see the same thing today in our society. The pain, the violence, the sexual misconduct, and the social unrest that is all around us has polluted our nation and our world. If we had paid attention to His commandments or His instructions, if we had walked in the fellowship with Him as a nation, would our nation be different? Would we indeed have peace, shalom, and righteousness in our land? This is something that should be part of our daily prayers to Jehovah. Lord, heal our land. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it states, "And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Did you hear the if and then statement? If we who are called by His name humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven and forgive our sins. Then in Yeshayahu or Isaiah 25 verse 3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts you." And we read a confirmation of that in the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament, in the book of Yaakov or James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." We need to keep our minds steadfast, settled, and focused on Him and His ways. In that way, we'll not be a double man, unstable in all our ways, but one that is kept in perfect peace. We previously looked at Psalms 119, verse 165, and it tells us that those that love thy law, or thy instructions, will have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Remember that the word law here is not in the original language. The word here is Torah, which means instructions. So we want to have great peace and have nothing that causes us to stumble? Well, we need to keep those instructions that apply to us as much as we're able. Keep in mind that we are a work in progress, that we're working out our salvation and growing into maturity. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace that passes all understanding. How each of us need that in our busy lives. And how do we go about obtaining that peace, that shalom? Well, the verse told us that we should rejoice in the Lord. We should have a gentle spirit before all man. Be anxious for nothing, and in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to Jehovah. It is then that the shalom, the peace of Jehovah, which surpasses anything that we can imagine or even understand, will guard our hearts and our minds in Yeshua, our Messiah. Someday, we're going to stand naked, one by one, before the very person of Jehovah himself. Believer and non-believer alike will give an account to him for the way they have lived, good or bad. It is only through Jehovah Shalom, or Jehovah who is our peace, that we can have peace about our eternity. We are told in his word that there will be a day of accounting, our judgment of both the believer and the non-believer in Messiah. Now, I use the term believer and non-believer. A believer is one who has trusted that Messiah is the Son of the living God, and they have confessed that they are a sinner and have no ability on their own to live a righteous and holy life. They've acknowledged that there is only through their faith or trust in Messiah and his death on the cross for their sin nature that they can be cleansed from sin and made righteous in Yeshua the Messiah, therefore reconciling with God through Yeshua. Even HaSatan, or Satan, believes there is a Messiah and that Yeshua is the Messiah. But there is no confession of sin, no repentance, and no reconciliation with the Father. We read in the Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the final judgment that awaits those that have not accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The believer in Messiah will stand at the judgment seat of Messiah. We read about this judgment in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Rabbi Shaul gives us more insight in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We see that not only will every person that has ever lived stand before the judgment seat of Messiah, but every knee shall bow, and every tongue proclaim that He is Lord, and shall give praise to God. Join us next time as we continue our study of Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day be fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.